Hey, everybody. Flash stream here. Donald Trump almost shot again. An attempted assassination against Donald Trump. The media couldn't care less. In fact, the media is cheerleading this on. It's reprehensible and it's repulsive. We have all of the details here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Support our stream and support our show, members.charliekirk.com. We have all the information that we know of as of right now about this shooter, the fallout, the importance. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Again, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And finally, if you are invigorated, and you should be, because they're trying to kill Donald Trump and kill our movement, get to work, everybody. tpaction.com/100. That is tpaction.com/100. So check it out right now. tpaction.com/100. Get to work. They want Donald Trump dead. They want you dead. They want your children dead. So don't let them. Take your country back. And if you don't, something bad's going to happen. Enjoy our conversation with Blake, Andrew, and Jack. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Joining me is Blake for this breaking news day. Blake, this is something else. We thought that you famously said 2024... might be a boring year.
Might.
But boy,
might.
Today, for those of you that have not yet seen the news, might. No, I know you said might. Donald Trump survives another assassination attempt. Now, mind you, he was not shot at, unlike in Butler, Pennsylvania, but he was very close, 300 to 500 yards away from this complete lunatic by the name of Ryan Ruth or Ryan Routh. Not that it matters what his name is, because he's a lunatic and an evil person that had basically a sniper's nest set up at the Trump International Golf Course. I've been there many times in Palm Beach. He had it set up and was wanting to kill President Trump. It turns out that a witness actually was the hero who saw him fleeing away, got into his Nissan, got the license plate number, told the police officer that this guy was the one that fled the scene, and they end up apprehending him. Now, we're learning a lot about Ryan Ruth, the first of which is that he is a Democrat donor. Over 19 transactions to Democrats that we know of since 2019. Ryan Ruth is also a he's a pro-Ukrainian lunatic, very much in favor of the Ukrainian war. He's all over the place and demanding that people publish his song, and I'm going to let Blake walk you guys through it. But understand this, everybody. This will only get better when we win. The assassination attempts against Donald Trump are only beginning. The movement that is propelling Donald Trump back into the White House, that you are behind, that all of us are participating in, is the greatest threat to the oligarchy that is currently reigning terror over this country. They wanted us to forget about Butler, Pennsylvania. They want us to forget about all the injustices against Donald Trump, the lawfare. And now today, it is yet another reminder that President Trump is not safe. That President Trump, thankfully, his life was spared by the U.S. Secret Service and did their job. The shooter is Ryan Wesley Ruth, or the attempted shooter, who then got in a firefight with the United States Secret Service. It is said to have been heavily involved with the Ukrainian International Legion, which has previously assisted in the recruitment for in 2022. Now, here are two pieces of items, and I want to be very clear on facts. Number one, how did this guy know that Donald Trump was going to be golfing at this moment? It's not public. It must have been a very, very good guess, or somebody might have leaked the information. And number two, what, if any, connections did Ryan Wesley Ruth have with U.S. intelligence services, with the Department of Defense, with the Central Intelligence Agency, with NATO, or the Pentagon, considering his entire life's work was about supporting Ukraine and try to take out Vladimir Putin? Did Ryan Wesley Ruth act alone? He seems to be unhinged. He seems to fit the profile. However, these are necessary questions to ask. Blake is joining us today for this emergency broadcast of Donald Trump surviving yet another assassination attempt. Blake, introduce us to the shooter, Ryan Wesley Ruth. What could potentially be his motive, and fill in the facts that I might have missed?
Hey, Charlie. Yeah. So first off, we're learning all of this on the fly. So all predictions to be clarified later, or your money back. But this, it does seem like this guy, one, he's clearly nuts. If you read his tweets and everything else, he doesn't come off as the most stable person. You mentioned his songs. There's tweet after tweet of him back, a couple of years ago. He seems to be very genuinely obsessed with helping Ukraine. It seems to have consumed his life. So he has all these tweets where he's saying, I'll just read one of them. At Dave Matthews Band, we need an emotional tribute song for Ukraine as support stalls. I have lyrics and music to We Are One to rally global support. Please help me. And he includes his phone number and email. And he's like, I live near Jack Johnson. I am sure he will help. Please. And he sends this to the U.S. Embassy in Kiev. He sends it to U2. He sends it to Bono. He's been spamming this. He apparently went to Ukraine for 8 months. It's not clear if he fought on the front lines or just, was in Kiev trying to recruit people to come to Ukraine. But this guy clearly was deeply enmeshed in this issue. I guess it is almost certain that was his motive for wanting to take a shot at Trump, as he saw him as not sufficiently pro-Ukraine or even pro-Putin. There's another tweet that he did from 2022 where he says, we are not done until Putin is dead and Moscow, misspells it, is a pile of rubble. I am not leaving until I am standing on Moscow rubble. This was a deeply unhinged guy, but he was a deeply unhinged guy, deeply involved with the single biggest cause that our elites in D.C. care about and are obsessed with. I think the prospect that no one in D.C. ever met this guy or interacted with this guy is quite unlikely. And as we dig into this, I think it's very possible we will discover there are people who at least heard this guy spout off about going after Trump. And I think we'll be seeing people look into, where did he get this gun? And as you said, how did he know to be where he was on that day to take a shot at Trump? Maybe he got lucky. Maybe Trump golfs at the same time each week. I don't know the details of that. But much more so than the one in Butler, which already created a lot of theories about, who might have, provoked the shooter, maybe possibly known the shooter was going to do it. There is way more red flags with this one. It doesn't prove there was a conspiracy, but it's very inevitable that people are going to be asking very serious questions.
We have Andrew with us as well. I want to get in on, but I just want to repeat this. Based on all information, this guy being a Ukrainian obsessed person and having spent time in country in Ukraine, it immediately begs the question, was this guy potentially involved in very, very deep and, let's just say, fringe Ukrainian networks, maybe with Zelensky, but probably not, and was encouraged to go take a shot at Donald Trump? That is not the craziest theory, by the way, given that Donald Trump's stated position is to stop the money flow and stop the grift through Ukraine and to try to broker peace. Again, we are not saying we have evidence of that, but we have peripheral evidence that would lead us to ask these questions. Andrew, we did not anticipate be streaming again on a Sunday. Butler, Pennsylvania, Trump gets shot in the ear. Today, on September 15th, a shooter tried to kill Donald Trump at a golf course and became within 300 yards. Andrew, walk us through what we know.
Yeah, I mean, the information flow on this one was completely different, Charlie. I mean, in Butler, we had it on camera. Everybody saw it happening live. There was blood coming down his face. We saw the evidence with our own eyes. This was different. The campaign came out with a statement. This is when you tweeted this out originally, Charlie. I mean, you were one of the first. And you said, the Trump campaign issues a statement. Throw it up, 18. President Trump is safe following gunshots in his vicinity. No further details at this time. And that was from Stephen Chung, Trump campaign communications director. So that went from, we don't know if this was directed at President Trump or if this was something unrelated and it just happened to be near him. Next, we saw from the New York Post that they were reporting that it was gunshots between two people outside the golf club. And bad part of town, there's some rough characters around. This was just sort of some gun violence that happened that nearby President Trump. Then Kristen Holmes and John Miller from CNN reported that this was the gunfire was intended for President Trump. So then everything started going off at that point, because that was a huge narrative shift, because everybody's assuming it was just sort of inadvertent gunfire. That was a big turning point in the storyline. And then President Trump put out a statement through Sean Hannity saying, you know, I'm OK. I want everybody to know I'm OK. Then we were not sure if it was a shootout between Secret Service agents and the gunman or the suspects. And then eventually it became clear that this was about 300 to 500 yards away from where President Trump was putting on the fifth hole. And the U.S. Secret Service agent spotted the rifle muzzle hidden in the tree line in the bushes, engaged the suspect with gunfire. The suspect fled, got as far over the county line before he was apprehended. So this was a story that took about two and a half hours to essentially get us to where we are right now. So it was a little trickle of information here, there, and everywhere. And I think, Charlie, one of the most appalling parts of this entire saga today is the piece of tape, and I believe we have it, during the press conference where they basically admitted that had Trump been the current president, that they would have had the entire perimeter of the golf course closed down. No roads would have been open, but they do not have enough resources for President Trump because he's not the current president.
That is such
after
BS.
He's already attempted assassination on his life.
This is a choice. We have plenty of resources. The Secret Service has a big enough budget. They are keeping him vulnerable as a choice. It is a decision that is being made by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's government to keep Donald Trump at risk. There is no other explanation. Right now, Kamala Harris could, but she likely won't, say that I want Donald Trump to have the same security that I have. Let's play cut two. Reporter asks why Trump did not have more security. Let's play cut two.
How was this able to happen? And for future reference, is there any up security on the golf course?
Well, you got to understand, the golf course is surrounded by shrubbery. So when somebody gets into the shrubbery, they're pretty much out of sight. All right. And at this level that he is at right now, he's not the sitting president. If he was, we would have had this entire golf course around it. But because he's not, the security is limited to the areas that the Secret Service deems possible. So I would imagine that the next time he comes to the golf course, there'll probably be a little bit more people around the perimeter. But the Secret Service did exactly what they should have done. They provided exactly what the protection should have been, and their agent did a fantastic job.
You see, if and when America falls and collapses, one of the reasons why our country will no longer exist is bureaucratic and administrative red tape and paralysis, instead of the American spirit of that guy. You know what he should have said, that loser that was doing a press conference? This is unacceptable. This will never happen again. Nowhere in our country should a president, former or current, be potentially shot at. We have zero tolerance for this, and we take full responsibility. Instead, it is this administrative backslapping, and I was going to use a more graphic term, that is repulsive. And yet, same thing happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. Well, this is not my job, and he just happens to be on the roof. Blake, your thoughts?
It's just, I'm thinking about where he has this limited detail and thinking about who gets Secret Service protection. Like, Hunter Biden has a Secret Service detail. Ashley Biden has a Secret Service detail. Jill Biden has this, like, strong Secret Service detail. And all you can think is, you know, I bet you could maybe have the people protecting them and, you know, reallocate toward that, towards the person who's had two assassination attempts against his life so far in the last 5 months. Would that be an insane thing to say?
Last 2 months.
Yeah, like last 2 months. And just, it's so obvious what's been whipped up here. And we're having to sit through, one of the things that's most appalling is it's like on each successive major threat, you've seen the press get more flagrant with what they do. So there were like gestures at this being unacceptable after the first shooting in Butler. But after this one, it's pretty much an immediate turnaround of Lester Holt saying, yeah, you know, President Trump brought this on himself because he talked about, you know, Haitian migrants in Springfield. And
yep.
you
no,
have
that, we have that clip. I want to play that. So this is Lester Holt basically saying Donald Trump deserved to be shot at. This is the position of the top level corporate media. Lester Holt is considered, but he's not, the most trusted man in news. Lester Holt is considered to be the top of the ladder of the NBC newscast industry. And he's basically saying this comes as a context of where Donald Trump was saying Haitians are eating dogs. And basically what he's saying is that Donald Trump deserved to die. And just so we're clear, the media, of course, they want Donald Trump dead. Deep down, they wish that the shooter would have been successful. Many of them say it. And Lester Holt is saying it in so many words. This is him saying, he is saying this in code as a dog whistle to the left-wing audience. Oh, Donald Trump gets shot at because he notices that Haitians are performing voodoo witchcraft ceremonies in Springfield, Ohio. Play cut 17.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio.
Jack is with us. Jack, you see how they connect that? They say, oh, baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio. Therefore, that's why people are shooting at him. Therefore, Donald Trump deserves to die, and there's nothing we can do about it. Jack.
Well, Charlie, I'm not looking at what Lester Holt is saying, and it's very obvious. They're trying to spin the narrative as hard as they can because we're pulling up the shooter's Twitter posts on X, which is still active. We're pulling up whatever was on his Facebook page. Mark Zuckerberg has just taken that down. So I guess Mark Zuckerberg decided to not tell the truth, or he wasn't telling the truth about how he was going to stand for openness and transparency in this election, because he just scrubbed the page of a would-be presidential assassin before people were able to get copies of the entire thing. Now, Mark, you could decide to be on the right side of history and actually stand up for the American people. And you've got a great opportunity. Elon Musk has left the account up for now. Mark Zuckerberg, if you want to do the right thing, if you want to stand and be measured, now is the time. Stand for transparency, allow the shooter's account to stay up or provide the information. You could tweet it out with your own X account right now if you wanted, Marky Mark. But unfortunately for Lester Holt, we've got the actual information about who this shooter reportedly was, reportedly is, because he's still alive, and information as to how he became increasingly radicalized from 2016 onwards to adopt this radical anti-Trump position. It's actually all there on his X account.
Blake, what else do we know about this guy and his ties to Ukraine, if any? He seems to be pathologically obsessed with a foreign war. That probably is a motive if you can, and we're learning that through the social media postings, Blake.
Yeah, so it seems he claims he spent 8 months in Ukraine. He's been interviewed multiple times. In spring of 2023, he was interviewed by Semaphore, where he represented himself as head of the International Volunteer Center in Ukraine, a private organization which helps foreigners seeking to assist the war effort connect with military units and aid groups. I imagine people are looking into that. Was this organization legit? Did it do all those things he claimed? Because this guy was also obsessed with getting his song covered by Dave Matthews Band. Maybe he somewhat fabricated that. I don't know for sure off the top of my head. But he did give an interview to Semaphore representing himself as having... He's like, I have partners meeting with the Ukraine Ministry of Defense every week. And he's talking about having issues getting visas for people to fight in Ukraine. So he claimed to be so involved that he was recruiting fighters abroad to get them to go to Ukraine. And that's, again, going to strengthen the suspicions that this guy would have connections with the U.S. security state. Because if this guy is literally recruiting fighters for the Ukraine war effort, it's hard to imagine he never interacted with our own security apparatus. He also was interviewed by the New York Times, again, in spring of 2023. He is described as a former construction worker from Greensboro, North Carolina, who was seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban after that country fell. It says Mr. Routh, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he is planning to move these fighters, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens had expressed interest. We can probably purchase some passports through Ukraine since it's such a corrupt country, Routh said in an interview from Washington. So this is definitely going to get unpacked, whether this is a schizo guy just screaming into the void, or if he really was seriously running organizations like this, seriously recruiting fighters for Ukraine. And if that was the case, that's really going to get a lot of attention. I think it's even worth asking, how did, like, who put New York Times and Semaphore in contact with this guy? Did he reach out to them? Or did someone say, talk to this guy? We're going to be learning a lot more about this guy, especially since, it's worth noting, this guy's still alive, unlike the last Trump shooter. So we could be hearing some very interesting things from him in the days to come, possibly.
Let's play some more tape here, guys, that we have. As Donald Trump survives another attempted assassination, praise God, the hand of God is on this guy. There is no way to put it. Let's play cut 10, please.
You know, one thing Eric Trump said to me was actually, and he was kind of choked up when he said it to me, my father is running out of lives here. How many more rifles are going to be within assassination distance of my father? And he said it with great passion and love.
Jack, your reaction.
Look, you know, to say it blithely, you know, President Trump has now survived more assassination attempts than Kamala Harris has conducted interviews during this campaign. We're living in a situation now where political violence is not just a myth. It is not just a potentiality. It is something that we now live with on a regular basis. Again, had Donald Trump, had President Trump only may have been one hole closer on the range, if Thomas Matthew Crooks's bullet had only been 1 inch to the right, we would be having a very different conversation right now, Charlie. We'd be having a very different election. And quite honestly, this country would have been thrown into absolute turmoil. This is not something that anybody wants. But again, and I remember the Democrats, after the first time that someone tried to take out President Trump, they said that they were going to tone down the rhetoric. You remember that, Charlie? They said they were going to tone down the rhetoric and that we were going to watch it off. It lasted about 24 hours. It lasted about 24 hours till they went right back to calling him a threat to democracy.
Well, not only that, they're saying right now that Donald Trump deserves it. This is MSNBC, who is a demented network. They want Donald Trump dead. This is all part of the MSNBC plan. They've wanted it for quite some time. This is the MSNBC clip. Play cut 19, please.
Yeah. Do you expect there to be calls from within the Trump campaign to do that? Because he's going to reach out to his supporters and say, let's take this down. We do not know, again, the source of any gunshot or gunshots. We don't know who's responsible for this. The whole thing has yet to be 100% confirmed from start to finish how this all played out. But do you expect to hear anything from the Trump campaign about toning down the rhetoric, toning down the violence, or would that be atypical of the former president?
Well, Alex, remember back to the assassination attempt on President Trump's life and how, you know, there was talk of a new tone. And then the Republican convention was, by Trumpian standards, muted. And it did seem like he was, you know, just trying to take it down a few notches. But then by the end of his convention speech, you know, we were kind of back to where we started.
Again, I remember being at the convention. This is exactly how they work the media. By the way, can you get that image up on screen, Ryan? That's something else. Which is, they will say, oh, wait, are you guys going to calm down the rhetoric? They never asked that of the left. I remember how many reporters came up to me, Andrew, and came up to us, Andrew, in Milwaukee. And they're like, well, are you guys going to start calming down your rhetoric? And I felt like saying, no, I mean, this is not because of us. Like, what are you saying? Are you going to say that Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are going to calm down their rhetoric? We're not responsible for any of this. And Rachel Vindman, by the way, has been saying on Twitter like a lunatic, and I want Blake to walk through it and to go through those details. And Kamala Harris has been calling Donald Trump a dictator, saying Donald Trump will be a dictator on day one. Basically, again, laying the philosophical foundation for Donald Trump to be killed. They want him dead. They are deathly afraid. Get it? That Donald Trump is going to win in November. And I have right here from security experts, they've just texted me right here. They say, Charlie, I was super skeptical of the idea the first time Trump got shot that it was an inside job. There's something deeply wrong here. How do they get so close to Trump? How do they know his schedule? These are from people within the government that are intel agents, that are intel experts. And we know the answer to that. Of course, our own government, many parts of our own government, have wanted Donald Trump dead for quite some time. They tried to impeach him. They tried to indict him. And then, of course, sentencing delayed to November, there's nothing else that gets in the way of Donald Trump from now to the election. The debate did not pop off the way the Democrats thought it would. The media knows that Donald Trump is nearly indestructible despite what they throw at him. And so instead of throwing more propaganda at him, they want to try to make it permissible to kill Donald Trump. Jack, your thoughts.
Look, Charlie, you can't look at this and go back to say that we've had any other history in this election, because we've never lived through something like this before. You know, you talk about a debate, you talk about a tweet here or there. We live in an era of 24-hour news cycles, or these days it's been like 24-minute news cycles, sometimes 24-second news cycles. And stepping back, you really realize that, you know, maybe think of the 2016 election. Sure, I can remember a bunch of different things, but there are really only one or two historic moments from that entire time. 500 years from now, people will be talking about the fact that Donald Trump survived two assassination attempts during this election. This is history. We are passing through history. We can see it happening around us, but this is history. Donald Trump is making history. And for them to sit there and say, oh, you know, we're sorry this happened. It's just some rhetoric. Oh, we're sorry this happened. You're not sorry it happened. You're not sorry it happened at all. You're sorry that they missed. You're sorry that you have to deal with this guy. You're sorry that this is the one person with a platform in America who, and I think we were talking about this on one of our thought crime shows recently, but that he doesn't give you platitudes. What Donald Trump talks about are the actual issues facing everyday Americans. When you talk about Springfield, Ohio, guess what? He gives a voice to the people that are saying that they're reporting atrocities and horrors in their town. And then the media turns around and says it's a lie, and that President Trump is actually some kind of villain for just repeating things that actual everyday Americans are telling him that are happening on the ground in this country. That's why he's a threat to this regime. That's why, and look, I'm not going to say it, but Charlie, I have a lot of questions about why the Biden administration has still yet to refuse to give him presidential level protection. Why does he not have a full detail even now, 2 months after someone took a shot at him? Why does he still have to rely on, and they've been great, that, by the way, the local support that he's gotten down in Palm Beach, why does he have to rely on that? And why are they not treating him like with a presidential level detail right now, currently? It's disgusting. It's insane. And we've had another situation where someone just magically knows where the president will be and when he's going to be there, and is sitting in the bushes about to take a shot at President Trump when he's going to tee off down at one of his own golf clubs, and this guy's sitting there and he comes out of Ukraine. This is the craziest thing you've ever heard. And you know, if we wrote this in a Hollywood script, no one would believe us, Charlie. No one would believe us, would be laughed out of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But guess what? That's what we're living through right now, folks. I mean, you sit there and you hear like, oh, and he was with Ukraine and he was a foreign fighter and he was training. He was working with Afghan soldiers to come over. And you're like, excuse me? Are those the words
Let me also say this, though. And
it's crazy.
I have said this to Trump's campaign. So the Trump campaign is running a multi-billion dollar campaign. I'm sorry, guys, with 50 days to go, you got to spend $500,000 a day on extra security. I'm sorry. Go hire Eric Prince's former Blackwater guys.
You need
clear the
Prince.
Security
you need
perimeter.
Him.
Yes. No, seriously. I mean, just pay whatever it takes. $500,000 a day. Okay. Like, I mean, like at some point, and by the way, a lot of these guys who do it for free or volunteer, you got to get private security involved here. And just so we're clear, this is not just against Donald Trump. You know, we receive a lot of assassination threats. And in fact, some very recently, and we didn't go public with it for many reasons, but we're constantly getting threats against my life and Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action and everybody in our orbit. And so you have to take responsibility for your circle. And Donald Trump, I think, needs to supplement his security with some private assets. Blake, what do you think?
I just can't get over how like vile the reaction is. Like, so we have Rachel Vindman.
Yeah, walk through that, please.
Rachel Vindman is the wife of Alexander Vindman. Alexander Vindman, you'll recall, is that guy on the I think it was he like a Pentagon liaison to the CIA? He had some sort of like liaison role, I believe.
Or maybe he was NSC,
National Security Council, whatever it was. He was the guy who was like a whistleblower, or he was testifying about the Ukraine during the Ukraine impeachment drama, and we had to endure all of this nonsense about him being a national hero. Anyway, his wife Rachel Vindman has just been on a tear today, just tweeting absolutely vile stuff. So this was 4 hours ago. So basically right when this happened, she tweets, "No ears were harmed. Carry on with your Sunday afternoon." Then 2 hours ago, she tweets, "Sorry you're triggered." I mean, no, I'm not. I don't care a little bit. Heart hand. And then she goes, this is just 38 minutes ago.
This is the left.
Trump has been
are.
Inciting violence against his enemies for years. He douses the situation in gasoline, lights a match, and walks away, claiming no responsibility. Look at what is happening in Springfield, Ohio right now. But he wants to claim he's a victim. You cannot have it both ways. This woman sucks. I hate this woman. I don't care. Like, literally, take this woman, revoke her citizenship, and deport her to Ukraine right now. I hate this person. She is disgusting. She is revolting. How is she ever allowed on TV? This woman was hosted at the Biden White House. She's a disgusting, monstrous piece of garbage. I hate her. I hate her. Ugh.
Yes, and by the way, she will not lose a single lobbying client. She is still going to, she's going to have the cash flow going in. And she was at the DNC. She's met with Joe Biden. She's quote unquote well-respected. And she says in her bio, "Suburban mom fighting for democracy and encouraging others to do the same." Andrew, you and I both know plenty of reporters and people in the media. Some are good people. Some of them, though, they truly wish at some point a bullet would pierce Donald Trump's brain and end this thing. This is how dark the news media has become.
Yeah, I remember on the after Butler, I sat late at night watching CNN and MSNBC so you don't have to. And it in that instance, it definitely felt like there was a somberness to it, but not because they were sad about what happened. They were sad because they knew that or suspected that it could help Trump. You could tell they were lacking any spirit, lacking any sort of authentic sadness about what the state of the country had become. And Charlie, so far, it's almost identical. It feels like either you get them or don't do it at all is basically their disposition towards this. And I hate to be that cynical, but that's what it feels like. It feels like the coverage of this is they're upset because they're worried this could be a boon to his campaign. They're upset because this wasn't successful, but they are forced to cover it because it's actual news. So here they are. They're having to cover something they don't want to, and their heart is just simply not in it. So what's their other alternative? Their other alternative is to blame Trump, to spin this and do the whole both sides need to do this, or even worse, just say Trump basically had it coming, which is insane.
That's right.
If you could imagine – if the shoe was on the other foot right now, Charlie, I want everybody to imagine the shoe. If Kamala Harris had just today survived a second assassination attempt, the First Amendment would be gone as we know it. It would be absolutely gone because every single Correct. Trump supporter on social media would be wrapped up in some sort of federal investigation and indictment. There would be of raids course. On homes. We would all be arrested for hate crimes and inciting violence. Trump would be indicted again for inciting violence. They would find a way to put him in a jail cell and put a permanent gag order on him. The difference of what this world would look like if the roles were reversed is absolutely unimaginable. And that should tell you everything right now, Charlie. They're not happy because they have to cover a story that they're worried will help Trump, and they are spinning away right now.
I hate doing this. I don't want to overly commercialize this because we're here to first thank God that Donald Trump is alive. But I do want to just say thank you to a couple of you that have become a member because I want to shout you guys out. Members.charliekirk.com. That is the deal when you guys do it. I want to thank Natalie. I want to thank Mike. I want to thank Ryan. I want to thank Paul. And I want to thank Oliver. Members.charliekirk.com. You guys get a signed hat when you do that. We'll only do this a couple times. Members.charliekirk.com. Okay, let's play some more tape here. Jack, is it too far of a reach, Jack, to say that the intel agencies might be involved in this?
I mean, Charlie, look, this is a situation where it's very clear. Look, when I was in Ukraine in Lviv and then went down to Odessa and Mykolaiv back in May of 2022, we're also seeing that timeline kind of lines up with when this guy was in Ukraine, this guy Ryan Routh, or at least he claims to be. We're receiving lots of information about how he potentially received training from the International Legion there. Again, there's this hodgepodge, patchwork of foreign fighters and volunteers, as well as Ministry of Ukrainian Ministry of Defense support. So that being said, the national security agencies were all over this. They had their fingers in every single American who went to Ukraine, of course, was on the CIA's radar. There's no question. That's actually part of the point. And the FBI's radar whenever they came back, because coming back, that would trigger a lot of information. I'm sure I actually was told that when I went to Ukraine, I was put on the radar as well, even though I was only there for a limited time and I certainly wasn't involved in any combat operations. If you're someone who goes to a foreign fighter, foreign combat zone, you receive combat training, you receive potentially even combat experience, then you are definitely going to be put on a lot of databases. There's no question that this guy had overlap with national security agencies. There's just no question. And if there were, they weren't doing their job. Look, I knew how to contact those agencies when I was in Lviv. I knew directly or within one or two contacts how to get in touch with anybody who was on the ground who was conducting these types of operations. We know that they were training, and the New York Times has told us that the CIA was training Ukrainian death squads and Ukrainian hit squads along the border with Russia in a series of a dozen plus bases that they had on the Ukraine-Russia border. So we've known the CIA has been there for a long, long time. They've been intimately involved with all of this, including the backfield in Lviv, where it says that's exactly where this guy was in 2022 when he was there. So the idea that he doesn't have any nexus with federal law enforcement or federal national security, this is the exact place where national security agencies have been conducting the bulk of their operations since the drop of the withdrawal from Kabul, since, oh, by the way, Abbey Gate. This is exactly where they're posted up. And a lot of those same types of resources that were going into Afghanistan have now made their way to Ukraine over the last 2 years. Now, we don't know how long this guy was there. We don't know what his current level of involvement is. But the fact that he's all over the place being directly identified as the head of one of these Ukrainian foreign fighter organizations, directly, by the way, associated with my dear friend and colleague, Malcolm Nance. Remember all Stand By Malcolm? Yeah, so he was directly associated with him in a New York Times article profiled about a year ago when they talked about this situation. So we're collecting all of this. We're getting all of the information out. This guy, look, I think the clarion call of what we heard this guy say, he was deeply radicalized by his involvement in Ukraine. And he says over and over, we found multiple instances on X, because Elon has allowed it to stay up, whereas Mark Zuckerberg scrubbed the account, multiple instances on X where he says, I will die for Ukraine. Over and over, he says, I will die for Ukraine. And it doesn't, it stands to reason that that may have been, and certainly his response to the fact that Kamala Harris has now adopted the neoconservative, neoliberal approach to continuing the war in Ukraine and continuing all wars, really this endless war position. We remember, if you went and looked, and we were here on the stream talking about it, that fourth night of the DNC felt like we were watching an RNC from like 2004 with the level of CIA officials who are up there. Liam Panetta is up there. We've got former military officials all over the place. And then hearing Kamala Harris the other night in the debate talking about how we're going to continue the war, America's going to continue to fight hard for the global empire, where it's Donald Trump saying that he's going to end the war, saying that he's going to put a peace deal. And what was it, just a few days ago, J.D. Vance floated the first potential outline, I believe, of a peace deal for Ukraine, talking about neutrality in terms of NATO, talking about territorial balance of power, who gets what territory, et cetera, et cetera. And J.D. Vance has been out there talking about this and using that as a potential starting point for a framework of negotiations between Ukraine and Russia. So one side's been pushing to end the war. One side's been pushing to continue the war. This guy was clearly radicalized. There's no question about that. And by the way, I just have to throw out there that you know, obviously people are asking me, so I'm in the middle of writing this book, or I just finished writing a book about the first Trump assassination attempt with Bulletproof. And so I just got off the phone with our publisher, and he's confirming that since we haven't actually gone to the first printing yet, if we are able, whatever information we're able to consolidate between now and basically tomorrow morning, we are going to be able to get all of this into the book.
Mm-hmm. So guys, wow. I want to just nail down on this, that there's only one way that this stops, and that is complete and total victory in November. We have said for quite some time that you import the third world, you become the third world. What are the characteristics of the third world? Censorship. Well, we have that. Where leading voices are not allowed to have social media accounts. And when big stories in the 2020 election were not allowed to be spread. What are the other characteristics of a third world nation? Lawfare. Trying to put opposition political leaders in jail and in prison. Do you know also third world countries have assassination attempts all the time? It is well known in the third world if you run for prime minister or for local dog catcher or for the mayor that you put your lives at risk. In Mexico, that's the case. In Brazil, that's the case. And we are becoming the third world because we're importing the third world and we cannot even keep the most basic elements of our country safe. And we thought after Butler, Pennsylvania, we said never again, never again. But how many times did I tell you guys he is not safe? Andrew, did I not do many shows and say, guys, he is not safe? And yes, I know Secret Service acted well today, but I'm done kind of making compensating type excuses. There should be a mile radius around this guy, private security, a Secret Service, local police. You're trying to tell me that the local police in Palm Beach would not want to do their job if given the option? What I am deathly afraid about is that we are now normalizing assassination attempts against political dissidents that are Republicans and conservatives. In fact, I was really disturbed today when I told a couple of my neighbors what happened. They said, oh, really? Again? Oh, that's too bad. And they just kind of move on. No more is it shock and awe. No more is it you stop what you're doing. No more is it you remember where you are. This is now everyday, daily business. The normalization of Donald Trump under attack. And he's going to get under attack again. He will keep on having to receive enemy fire, whether it be a rally in Georgia or whether it be a roundtable. They're going to keep on trying to place bombs. And by they, I mean the lunatics that are saying they want Donald Trump dead. And we need an answer. Who is actively, if anybody, leaking information in Donald Trump's circle to enemies, either foreign or domestic, that want Donald Trump dead? We know Donald Trump's enemy list. The CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, Goldman Sachs, Google, they all want him to not become president. They want Kamala Harris to become president. And did this guy, was he connected to some sort of a NATO Central Intelligence Agency type organization? And Andrew, I want to get in on this, but I just want to make one thing. Isn't it bizarre that the woman who is the most deranged right now, Vindman, who also has direct connections to Ukraine, is also the same day that a Ukrainian sympathizer, maybe Ukrainian foreign agent, almost killed Donald Trump? This has a lot of Ukraine wrinkles to it. The more we find out, the more we're going to be disturbed. And finally, I'm going to get Andrew in on this. Why do you think that we're going to get the entire truth here? We never got the entire truth out of Butler, Pennsylvania. Governor Ron DeSantis, we are calling on you right now to take complete control over this investigation. This happened in Florida. The feds should not be handling this investigation. This needs to be handled by Florida marshals. And Congress, by the way, should pass a law saying if you attempt to assassinate a president or presidential candidate, you get the death penalty, period. And no 10-year waiting period. Right now, hey, Mike Johnson, can we get you right now to go pass that bill? But no, they want Donald Trump to be a sitting duck, because if a bullet is able to hit Donald Trump, the most powerful oligarchs on the planet will breathe a sigh of relief. Andrew, your thoughts?
Yeah, well said there, Charlie, at the end. Just a couple of things to reinforce your point. Charlie, you know, we all know that Butler, PA was a miracle. I would submit to you that what happened today, spotting that guy's rifle through the shrubs in the tree line, was about as miraculous as what happened in Butler, PA. You imagine they're not expecting to see anything out there. They're doing a sort of run-of-the-mill scouting advance, a couple of holes ahead of President Trump, 300 to 500 yards ahead of him. They happen to see him. The guy did a phenomenal job, but you should not be relying on eagle eyes of your Secret Service agents to spot potential threats in the forest 300 yards ahead of the protectee. So, I mean, that's first of all. Second of all, we know there are other threats against President Trump. The Iranian threat, they want to kill him to get back for Soleimani. And then we also know, to your earlier point, like, what are this guy's connections to places in that world? He's on the record trying to smuggle fighters into Ukraine from parts of the Muslim world. So, you know, Iran wants Trump dead. This guy's working with sources over there. Obviously, we don't have proof of any of this. But this guy was existing, as he claims, for 8 months in that part of the world, interacting with potentially all sorts of foreign actors. And we know that, to Jack's point, that he got radicalized during this time. Maybe he's always been radical, but he certainly became more so. And the Vindman tie-in is shocking and appalling. I actually hadn't thought about that. That's, I mean, completely valid point you made. And then we have this new clip here, Charlie. This is the suspect alleged that spoke to Newsweek Romania and apparently breaks down crying in the middle of it. Cut 26.
The question as far as why I'm here, to me, you know, a lot of the other conflicts are gray, but this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook, you know, any movie we've ever watched, this is definitely evil against good. I mean, we're battling a situation here where, you know, the Ukrainians and the rest of the world are caring and kind and generous and unselfish and take care of one another. And it's just a matter of, you know, we need to stand up for that.
Can I respond to that?
White dudes for Harris are a threat to democracy. Yes, Jack, please.
So when I visited Ukraine in 2022, I met guys like this. I met guys who were so completely, and look, if you want to go over there and help for humanitarian interests, if you want to go help for humanitarian reasons, then God bless you, because there's a real war going on and there's real war caught up in it. But there were also people that I met when I was in Ukraine who viewed this thing as if it was some sort of like a movie or a quest or a TV show, or I don't even know what you want to call it, where they felt like they were actual freedom fighters going off on some sort of adventure, and they just became totally radicalized. You couldn't even have conversations with them because everything they would talk about, they would just come back to, well, we just have to keep fighting for freedom. You know, we just have to keep fighting for love and justice and the beauty. And they become totally radicalized to the cause, almost a jihad level. And by the way, I say this as a guy who spent a year at Guantanamo Bay. They almost had a jihad level affection for Ukraine. And that's fine, but that isn't even your own country. That's not somewhere you're from, where they were taking, many cases, a lot of these cold warriors were going over and they were taking up their pent-up frustrations. They were taking up the fact that they had failed in their own lives. They, you know, many of them didn't have wives and kids, and they were just these adrenaline junkie types, these thrill seekers, who then were going over there and portraying themselves as being involved in some kind of romantic, epic struggle against good and evil, with the exact same rhetoric that I'm hearing from Ryan Routh. I've never seen that video before, but I've heard those words before when I was visiting Ukraine from people who were involved in the same foreign fighter flow. And we all can guess as to where exactly those talking points were coming from. We know the New York Times was pushing this. We know CIA was pushing this. And we know for a fact, we know for an absolute fact, that NATO and all the rest of them have huge direct ties to the foreign fighters that were going involved in this situation. We know there have been many Americans, by the way, who have gone and joined in these efforts and died on the battlefield because they didn't realize that it was a real war that they were getting involved in, with actual artillery, actual targeting, and now, of course, kamikaze drones and all sorts of suicide drones that have been used on the front lines, and to a point where it doesn't actually surprise me to hear this type of rhetoric, because even when you try to talk to these people now, they will not listen to reason. They are completely radicalized at a jihadist level.
That is well said. And I just want to repeat earlier, everybody, it is difficult for some people to face head on the evil that is within our country, because we don't want to live in an unpleasant country. Well, you do. And it is hard to believe that you have a former president, opposition leader, that every 60 days has to now withstand a potential assassination attempt. Well, welcome to America. That is the country you now live in. So how do you solve it? You solve it through victory. You solve it by winning in November. And this should be conviction for everybody watching right now to go register voters, to go get your friends to go vote, to go to tpaction.com/vote, to go and be a part of Commit 100 and download the Turning Point Action app. The only way that we fight back is with a decisive and overwhelming victory in November. And if we don't, then we will be basically ceding ground to people that have used assassination attempts against Donald Trump. The attempted assassin today, like the one back in Butler, Pennsylvania, we're never going to get the entire story. We're never going to get all the details about this. And there will be others. And yes, the assassinations against Trump are 0 for 2, not to mention the Iranian one. And as Jack said, the mainstream media is not sorry that this happened. They are sorry that he missed. Think of all the problems that would be solved if Donald Trump would have got shot today. Think about all the problems that would have been solved. J.D. Vance would be the nominee. The country would be in bedlam. Kamala Harris would be able to pretend like she's some sort of healer of the country. This is what Honduras has to deal with. And we are normalizing something that has not happened, of course, since Ronald Reagan, then Butler, Pennsylvania. But with Donald Trump, there are no rules. There are no rules against Donald Trump. There never have been rules. Because what he stands for is the death of the modern neoliberal order to invade the world, to invite the world, to keep on importing products from around the planet. And Lester Holt said it best. I want to repeat this for the audience that is just tuning in. What is it that Lester Holt connected to? He connected Donald Trump almost dying today with the fact that Donald Trump noticed that Haitians are eating dogs. What do those things have to do with one another? Very simple, of course, obviously, because Donald Trump stands against mass immigration, and therefore he deserves the death penalty. That is what Lester Holt is saying. It's an old trick that Lester Holt is using. Oh, this comes in the context of Donald Trump saying heated rhetoric about their eating dogs that has nothing to do with the fact, by the way, that Donald Trump got shot, but for the regime media, it has everything to do with it. Because if you dare say you want to stop the spread of foreigners coming into your hometown and foreigners coming to your neighborhood, it is open season for you. Play cut 17.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio.
They want you to say in that moment, oh, then I guess he deserves it. That is false equivalence on an epic scale. And that's who Lester Holt is. Lester Holt does not love the country. Lester Holt is a paid shill for NBC News that is called trusted. You guys should never forget the reprehensible person that Lester Holt is. New York Times earlier this week's opinion piece, J.D. Vance's blood and soil nationalism finds its target by Jamela Bowie. As they've said for quite some time, it's okay to punch a Nazi. Well, why is it not okay then to shoot one? See, once they call us all Nazis, I get death threats every single day. Once they call us all Nazis, Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action get death threats almost every single day. And Donald Trump gets death threats. And J.D. Vance gets death threats. And Donald Trump Jr. gets death threats. Hey, Jack, remember when you walked the halls of the DNC and it took you nearly 5 minutes after asking hundreds of people to find a single Democrat that would denounce the assassination attempt of Donald Trump? Do you remember that, Jack? Remind our audience about
that. I think it was more like 15 minutes because I was going around very politely, and we've got the video. We've got, you know, we did it right here on the Superstream where, you know, we were up. It was me, you, and Blake, and we were going around, and I was at the DNC, and I was simply asking, would anyone denounce? And I was being very polite, you know, not, you know, screaming at people. I did yell at Eric Holder, but that was something else. And I was just asking them, would you denounce? And you know, I got no's, I got all this, the rest of it. Eventually, finally, one person said, you know, interestingly enough, though, Charlie, something that I really we'll always remember that earlier in the day, we were doing these the week before at the RNC, we were doing the same type of thing. It was Ben Berkwam was interviewing someone during a live stream I was on, and he was interviewing one of the protesters, and he was saying, do you denounce? Same question. And one person says, I denounce violence against all humans. And so he said, okay, does that include President Trump? And they said, no, not him. I denounce violence against humans, including President Trump? No, not him. See, they don't view you as human. They once you understand, and this was the whole thesis of the book Unhumans, that once you understand that the far left views you, views conservatives, views Trump supporters as an invasive species, and it views Donald Trump as the head of the invasive species, that and you need to be eradicated, that you are standing in the way of utopia, you are standing in the way of all that is good, of everything that their program promises. And remember, communism is only one mass killing away from paradise on earth. And if they can just get rid of a few more of these racists, these xenophobes, these extremists, these Hitlerites, these blood and soil nationalists, as the New York Times said yesterday, then, and only then, can we have the future that was promised. Oh, and by the way, safety for Ukraine and saving democracy, which is on the ballot, all things that were on the Twitter account of this reported individual who attempted to take shots at President Trump today.
Blake, Edward Snowden, who I'm not sure you're a fan of or not. I don't know your opinion on Edward Snowden, but I mean, he's obviously got some credibility. Now, mind you, Edward Snowden is taking asylum in Russia, so you got to take that with, you know, a heavy grain of salt. He is connecting the dots right now, where he says in a tweet, Edward Snowden has just said, we know very little so far, but the alleged Trump shooter personal and public participation in military activity in Ukraine, it is hard to imagine this White House agencies can claim, quote, zero contact and clean hands. Something of an Oswald vibe here. Congress should get answers. Now, I don't want to get into the Oswald aspect of that, Blake, but just look at this tweet here. This guy has a suspicious amount of proximity to the Ukrainian effort, more than just kind of an unhinged guy. But he seems to visit Capitol Hill, Kiev. Maybe he's connected to some sort of NGO. As we know, hundreds of billions of dollars have been flooding into this for quite some time. Blake, walk us through. Is it possible that this guy was attached with U.S. taxpayer-funded efforts in Ukraine? What do we know?
I think it's virtually guaranteed this man had contact with something related to the Ukraine effort. Someone in Congress, someone at the Pentagon, someone at the CIA. Someone had contact with this guy. In all honesty, I will wonder how much further it could go from that. Because what I'll say from this guy's online presence, he does seem nuts, kind of in a schizo adjacent way. People have found his Act Blue donations. On his Act Blue donations, he's listed as not employed. Even his photos that he's posting on Facebook, it's like one person thumbs them and he kind of looks disheveled. So I just could envision this guy being someone who goes around saying, like, I'm helping the Ukraine war effort. And then people are like, who is this guy? Get him away from me. He's making me uncomfortable. I could see this guy being a loon. And, you know, it certainly makes sense that loons would go and try to murder Donald Trump. That said, that it's very possible I'm off base and that there is more to this, that he was more directly involved. Maybe he got funding from the U.S. in some way. Maybe people actually did support his organization. Maybe he was in contact with the Ukrainian government. And it's very possible also that a person who is that involved, like, he may have babbled to some of these people about wanting to take a shot at Trump, take a shot at other Republicans,
yep,
take a shot at people,
right,
opposed to this war. And then maybe they didn't take it seriously. Maybe they egged him on. Maybe they're like, aha, that would be great. And the most extreme of all possibilities, we have to weigh this as a possibility, is that someone in Ukraine, someone in the Ukrainian government, egged him on to do this. And we already have suspicions that Ukraine was involved in blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. If you believe the New York Times, they're the ones who did it without the U.S. knowing. I think we all raise an eyebrow at that. But that's even the official story they're basically pushing through the regime press, is Ukraine on their own is willing to do things like blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. You may remember, you were actually, I think, talking about it with him over the weekend when Tucker Carlson was in Russia. It seems that someone linked with Ukraine tried,
yep,
to assassinate him there. So we have quite a bit of evidence that Ukraine is willing to do assassination efforts to take out their enemies, of which Donald Trump, they would certainly count as one. And I just consider it entirely possible that this guy either was linked with them or egged on by them, and maybe even, God forbid, like, was actually working on their behalf. I would be skeptical of that just because of how nuts this guy is. I think you'd pick someone a little more reliable, but you really can't rule anything out, I think. And they might have imagined this guy would just get killed rather than being caught alive.
So Jack, help us understand from a foreign intel agency standpoint how this potentially could work. Hundreds of billions of dollars being sent to Ukraine. Just look at the imagery here, Jack. You're the foreign intel expert. Edward Snowden has identified this. Based on his activity, I mean, flying to Kiev is not some sort of small town effort. This is not, is this guy, I'm open for both options. Is this guy a LARPer, a live action role player that screams at the top of his lungs of Kiev? Or is it possible that this guy actually was employed or attached to something greater? As we know, with all this money flowing around, you know, a lot of people are on U.S. government payroll. Based on what we know, pictures of him at the U.S. Capitol, pictures of him in Kiev, pictures of him at the, what is this one organization he has? It is the International Volunteer Center called At Civilian Shield. And this guy was obsessed with Ukraine. Jack, what do we know?
Well, Charlie, I mean, it's clear that he was radicalized. And I've said before that, and, you know, go back to my reporting from 2 years ago, almost, you know, I guess 2 years and change now ago, May of 2022, when I told you that I reported being on the ground there and having people almost within hours offering to sell me AR-15s, offering to sell me U.S. equipment, asking if I wanted to get involved in these volunteer groups, asking if I had interest in joining something like this, asking if I was interested in traveling with armor and medical kits down to combat areas of Ukraine. I mean, there was no barrier to entry. There was no barrier to entry whatsoever in these Ukrainian foreign fighter units. You could show up, and if you had a pulse, and they would accept you. And remember, there wasn't just the International Legion of Ukraine. That's what Malcolm Nance was involved in, as well as a few other groups. But there were also all of these, this patchwork of organizations surrounding them that operated as a sort of top of funnel for the foreign fighters coming in. Many people did make money off of this, and this is something the New York Times profiled about a year ago, and they really went hard against these efforts. But there were also people that came in through these foreign fighter units that did receive training from the international battalions of Ukraine, and we know that those international battalions were completely backstopped by the U.S. government, that were backstopped by U.S. taxpayer dollars, that were backstopped by CIA units that were training many of them early on, and in fact, even NATO units training early on. Which, by the way, this is going to have massive geopolitical ramifications, whether or not this guy was directly tied to them, because you know that America's adversaries and the folks on the other side of the ball in the Ukraine conflict are going to pick this up immediately. I'd be surprised if they haven't already. So you've got a situation here where there was a guy who was running around Ukraine potentially for 8 months. We don't know exactly what he was doing, but clearly was there for enough time to pick up enough of the lingo, enough of the contacts, and enough of the training to be interviewed by multiple serious journalists from places like Semaphore and then also places like the New York Times, where he was profiled by them. So my questions would go back to them to say, well, what was your sourcing when you profiled him in the first place? Did you actually confirm that he was in Ukraine? Did you confirm that he had spent time there? Obviously, we have images of him in Ukraine where he's on the ground and was certainly able to travel over there, probably spent all of his money to go and do these things. Again, I'm telling you, I saw people like this. I met people like this. I still have, you know, the cell phone numbers, et cetera, of people who were just like this, perhaps not quite as radicalized as to take shots at President Trump, but certainly people who acted in this manner where they were willing to give their lives up for Ukraine and doing something absolutely drastic. You see these people online. They referred themselves as NAFO, the North Atlantic Fellas Organization. Senator Mike Lee, by the way, has been someone, a huge credit to him for calling out the radicalization elements of this group specifically. It wouldn't surprise me if this guy was involved in those assets. By the way, the Vindmans, both of them, or I guess all three of them, have been heavily involved with this NAFO group. So it doesn't surprise me for a second, as well as Malcolm Nance, that somebody would arise from this extremely anti-conservative, anti-Republican, pro-Ukraine, pro-deep state force in order to go and take a shot at President Trump. And so when you talk to me about foreign intel, you know, if this guy was over there, look, all it takes is one person from the Azov battalion or someone who's got a signal account with this guy to say, look, Ryan, we saw the debate. You understand what needs to be done. President Trump is going to end our effort. President Trump is going to sell us out if he's put in. We need Nikki Haley in there. We need her to be the nominee for the Republicans. Kamala Harris, we know what side she's on. You know she's with us. Somebody's got to do something to save Ukraine. You're there in Florida. Can you help us, Ryan? Can you do something back there that will help us up here? And if he has put those interests before the interests of his country, before the interests of his own nation, before the United States, then all it would take is a couple of signal messages to really send this guy down a very dark path.
I hope you're wrong. Okay, guys, just to kind of in closing here, I want to go around the horn. Andrew, from a media perspective, we thought the media could not go any lower. We thought that the media could not, you know, be any more reprehensible, that we don't hate them enough. But today really was a new low. It was a new low where they could not take 20 minutes off. Instead, cheerleading, supporting, and complete indifference to the fact that Donald Trump survived is a correct and technical term, but I want to be clear, he was not shot at. But Donald Trump, there was an unsuccessful assassination attempt against Donald Trump today. So I guess survived is the right term. Andrew, final thoughts on the media's treatment and reaction here.
Yeah, I mean, it's despicable. You can tell. I mean, I've been hate watching some of the usual suspects here. And yeah, I mean, they are sad that they have to report on this. They're sad that it's news and it's obligatory for them to cover the fact that Trump survived yet again a second assassination attempt. And I think the stochastic terrorist threat allegations that have been leveled against conservatives by liberals, this made up expression nobody had ever heard about. Again, it's once again projection, because you mentioned before, Charlie, they called J.D. Vance a Nazi yesterday. Right. You know, so they have been stoking the flames of this for a long time. And I just can't imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. I am 99.9% certain, Charlie, that this stream would be pulled down right now. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the kind of people that we're dealing with here. And it's complete projection. And the media is despicable. And I don't know how we get past this, but I think step one is we have to win, and everybody has to be activated. And so what did not happen in the first assassination attempt, we have to make sure happens now. Trump needs beefed up, ramped up security. He needs a full detail. And his supporters, people watching this stream, listening right now, we need to do everything we can to get him across the finish line in November, because it's never been more important than it is right now.
Let's go to final thoughts, Blake, and then Jack, please. Blake.
It's just, I can't get over how much more glaring it is from the press that they're coming out and they're saying, actually, it's Donald Trump's fault this happened. Donald Trump deserves this to happen to him. And I feel like we're approaching this point of no return, where you can just imagine if this had worked and what they would be saying, where they'd be like, well, it's only natural that, you know, this man who sowed so much violence reaped violence in return. And they would just be unsubtly celebrating it. I think it's truly despicable what these people do. And I think we have to really be thinking about how we can hold them accountable. I think, you know, it'd just be a fun measure if, like, you know, if we manage to win this and just say, actually, you know, CNN and MSNBC, you're not allowed to have reporters in the White House anymore, and we're never letting you back in, period. And just, like, you really have to start treating these people as, you know, as your enemies, because they just, their behavior is such that they do not view the political opposition as legitimate, and they do not view the supporters of the political opposition as their countrymen. They view them as acceptable targets for violence. And I think they need to be called out directly for this. And it's a dark reality we're headed towards, but it is one entirely of their own creation.
And instead of them saying, hey, let's turn down the rhetoric, Lester Holt, who, again, he sends the signal. Lester Holt is the most respected person in that circle. Oh, Trump almost shot Haiti. Trump almost shot Springfield. Connect the dots. Therefore, death penalty for noticing. Jack, final thoughts here.
Yeah, look, like I said before, for anyone who's ordered a copy of Bulletproof, or if you're planning to, we are working very diligently. We're going to compile as much information as we can tonight, get it to the publisher up tomorrow, and we will be including it in Bulletproof in some way, shape, or form. We've got to figure that out from a formatting perspective. But look, I said 2 months ago that this would happen again. I will make another prediction. this will not be the last assassination attempt on President Trump prior to the election. This will not be the last time. They will try again and again and again, and possibly even before he becomes president, even if he wins the election, because there are very dark and shadowy forces that want to stop him from becoming president at all cost. You're talking billions and billions of dollars on the line if Ukraine comes off. By the way, that's a huge part of the book that we talk about, the military-industrial complex, and now we have a I'm almost speechless. This is a one-to-one tie from the military-industrial complex to assassination attempt of President Trump.
They've wanted it. They're cheering for it. They're hoping it. They're hoping for it. They're encouraging it. They hope that one of these attempts are successful. Another will happen. Donald Trump's life is not safe right now, everybody. But the movement is more than Donald Trump. And all of you out there can do something about it. This is the clearest call to action imaginable, which is to go to work, come to Arizona during early balloting, and chase ballots at tpaction.com/100. Go and register more voters at tpaction.com/vote. Go support us with the work we're doing on college campuses. You guys have it easy right now. You guys get to watch this from afar while Donald Trump got shot and almost got shot again today. But you're a threat to all of them, and we can reclaim this country. We can save this country. The only way this gets better is victory in November, and we purge the ranks of the people that are responsible. We pull the licenses of these media companies that are doing this crap. We cut the budget of National Public Radio. That is the only way that things get better. The Democrats, they will not give an inch. They want us dead. They want you dead. But first, they want Donald Trump dead. I also wanted to say thank you to a final here as a sign off for those that became members. Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Matt. Members.charliekirk.com. Thank you, Anja. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Rusty. Thank you, Deepak. Thank you, James and Martin. Members.charliekirk.com. When you guys do that and you become an annual member, you guys get a signed hat. You can listen to all of our content advertiser free. That is members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. That is the only way we can win. I want to say thank you, Lord, again, for your divine intervention and for saving the life of Donald Trump and for keeping the peace, at least at this moment, because this country would be in bedlam if another shooter would have been able to shoot Donald Trump, let alone kill Donald Trump. We live to fight another day. So thank the Lord for that. God bless you guys. Become a member. Members.charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.